43-yard kick right down the middle. Two of those misses were from beyond 50 yards. Veteran kicker in his ninth year out of Maryland, and it's 6-0 Texans. C.J. Anderson, touchdown Denver. A blitz brought by Crennel. Simeon throws a touchdown to Demaryius Thomas. Ralphie Blue, nice bounce to the right. And then he got blasted and coughed up the football. And Denver has it. It floated right into the arms of Todd Davis. They're going to score their first touchdown in a third quarter this year. Devontae Booker, touchdown. Four-man rush, and the ball slips out of his hand. No whistle yet.
Ruling on the field is a fumble, recovered by the defense, and dropped at this point. It is Denver's ball.
Osweiler's return to Denver ends in defeat. Yeah, one-sided defeat at that.
But he battled. He competes. He battled hard. He's into the game on every snap. He's got good poise. It's a tough environment. We all have to do better. Everybody's got to do better. Coach, it starts with coaching. Coaches and players, everybody's in it together. And, you know, that's what I just said to him. You know, we've got to get back to work and get ready for Detroit and try to finish the first half here with a winning record.
Well, how low can they go? According to the Chronicle, it was Brock Bottom. Let's do this. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse off 59 in between Gessner and Bissonette. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master, back in studio. We are out here at Saltgrass on Southwest Freeway. If you want to get in, best bet's probably to text the show at 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Jong Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates. 975. Of course, you can text the show. And it's a Tuesday, and I'm guessing everybody's in their usual bad mood, especially Texans fans.
Yeah.
That wasn't much fun to watch.
Not a great Tuesday.
But that's right. We're going to have fun. I'm in a great mood.
When you stay up late to watch your team, and that's the effort they give, usually the next day is a bit of a downer.
I really wanted to go to bed early last night. I was tired.
Right there with you.
And it's just, I can't. I got to watch the whole thing.
I had to get up at 5 a.m. to go to, I've got, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have a 6 a.m. jiu-jitsu class. And it is such a beating when that alarm goes off. Because you know I like to sleep.
Yeah.
I am a go to bed late, sleep late kind of guy. I need my rest, and I like to stay up late at night. Last night, I was so just disgusted with what I saw on my television that I wanted to go to bed early because I knew I had to wake up early. But I forced myself to stomach that entire game. Not only that, when I got done with jiu-jitsu this morning, I went back to the house. I forced myself to stomach the whole thing over again.
Yep.
And it did not look better the second time around, I tell you.
I watched it a second time this morning to try to find any positives in Brock Osweiler's performance. I didn't.
I tried to
approach it with a, you know, okay, I'm going to have an open mind here and see how much of this is him and how much is a play calling. And I would say 80% him, about 19% play calling, and 1% the other guys.
He is, I would argue, and you could go through the history of the franchise. And I'm talking about guys who were deemed the starter, not like one-week fill-in guys or, your quarterback got hurt, so we threw this guy in here type guys. I'm talking about guys who have been named the starter of the Houston Texans at any point. He's the worst ever, and that includes Ryan Mallett. He's worse than Ryan Mallett. And if you told me that before the season started, I would have said you're crazy. Because it's very difficult to be worse than Ryan Mallett. But Ryan Mallett had upside. Like, Ryan Mallett could occasionally chuck the ball down the field and make something big happen. I mean, he had a lot of bonehead in him, and he was a terrible teammate, and, you know, he's a pain in the ass to deal with. Brock Osweiler is there's really no upside for him. Like, the best thing I can say about Brock Osweiler to this point is he's super tall. And that's the best thing through 6 weeks. Well, he's pretty tall.
He's handsome.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. And it's getting worse, by the way. But, he struggled to break 100-yard passing in an NFL game.
With over 40 attempts.
That's what I'm saying. It's unbelievable.
I've been trying to give it the benefit of the doubt and be real patient with this because, realistically, I said all along, we might not know for 10 weeks in what he is. But what I'm not seeing is any
progress.
Any progress.
Growth.
I'm seeing regression. And not just with him, but with this whole team. Do you know how many good quarters they've played the last 3 weeks, the last three games?
No.
I mean, basically, the last 7 minutes of the Colts game, they played well.
Yeah.
And in fact, played great. And a little bit into overtime. And I would say the first quarter last night was not bad.
It was okay.
I mean, they were at least in the game. They were competitive. How's that?
I'll give you that.
But then everything else was a disaster.
Well, and let's now discuss going forward. Would you think the arrow is going to be pointing up or down? You just lost your right tackle, which this sucks to say. You may have lost Derek Newton forever.
Yeah.
I mean, it.
And
the fact that he recovered from one of these injuries already to one knee is it's a kind of a long shot, honestly. And the fact that he's now torn both, like that injury, you can't walk. You can't put weight on that injury for almost 6 months after it happens. So that means he's going to be in a wheelchair for the next 6 months.
I think it's fair to question whether or not his career's over.
Yeah, I don't think you can count on that guy being a part of the franchise going forward. So,
and oh, by the way, yet another guy who coming off an injury who you rush back and suffers a devastating injury.
And
at some point, somebody ought to be accountable for that.
And at a position where we've talked about this every offseason for as long as you and I have been working together, I feel like. At a position group where they cannot afford to lose bodies because they have no depth there. And it's a nightmare situation. More injuries in the secondary. They're piling up. A.J. Bouye actually looked pretty good.
Yeah.
And then he goes off the field.
Yeah, they kept attacking him, and he kept responding.
And I was like, wow, that guy's really having a game. So what do you think happens? Of course, he gets hurt. I mean, it was everything that could have gone wrong for the Texans went wrong. You know what? I'll give Brock credit. That was his first game without throwing an interception. He did throw a fumble.
He did.
Which is very difficult to do, mind you. I mean, you have to. And when I first saw it, I said, there's no way that's a fumble. I can't imagine that they're going to look at the replay and call it a fumble. And the first time I saw the replay, I said, that's not a fumble. That's a throw.
Right.
But then you look at. The ball fell out of his hand before his arm started going forward. It legitimately was a fumble. And that guy could not have had a worse day. He could not have had a worse day. I don't think DeAndre Hopkins is happy with him. I think now here's where it kind of sucks that you haven't paid DeAndre Hopkins yet, because is he going to want to stay?
Well, it doesn't matter whether he wants to stay or not. They have control over him for another 4 years, so. You know, you can franchise him. There's all kind of things you can do. But frankly, I don't think he's blameless in this. He looks like he doesn't care out there. He's not.
Oh, he's quit.
He throws his arms up when the ball comes near him to make it look like he's going after it.
Yeah.
But he's half-hearted out there. And
yeah, there's frustration for sure.
Yeah, if you're frustrated, that's one thing. You shouldn't let it affect your play. If you want to bitch at the guy on the sideline or something, I think that's fine. But no, he's been a disaster. The only positive I can take out of that game is that they ran the ball really well. They just didn't run it enough. And, yeah, that's some of the play calling, man. They're getting third and short, and they're throwing into double coverage to try to get the ball to Hopkins. Just run the damn ball.
You're running it
really effectively.
Chris Harris last night, and I laughed out loud when I heard him say this. He said, "We know Brock, and when you take away Brock's first option, he gets really jittery and really nervous, which is what I've been saying all year, is he gets his eyes on that first guy, and it is he is not going to change his mind. And the Broncos knew that, and they just forced him. I mean, he looked ridiculous. And we talked yesterday about the ability to make reads post-snap. He has zero of that. He has zero ability to read the play once it's happening. Like, once a guy's covered, the play's over for him. Which is, I mean, that's not, there's very few NFL quarterbacks that you can say that about, that don't have really any option after that. Most guys at least will figure out, oh, I'll get it to a tight end, I'll dump it down to my running back, do something. He just, it's like a deer in the headlights. The panic sets in, and it's like, oh, boy, what do I do here? And he's lost.
And that's a skill as an NFL quarterback. We see a lot of guys with a lot of physical talent. And in college, you can get away with that. You can throw for 5,000 yards doing that because your first guy's going to get open a lot.
Yep.
And that doesn't work in the NFL. And that's something that, again, I just wanted to see progress towards not doing that all the time. And it just hasn't developed, man. And that's... There's a lot more to get to here, too. And somebody asked on Twitter today, is he the worst starting quarterback in the NFL?
He's in the conversation.
I've got some numbers that put him right in the conversation.
And there is no excuse for a guy who's 6'20" to be getting so many balls batted down at the line.
All right, we'll talk about that and a lot more. We'll definitely want your texts and your tweets, so want to hear from you guys. But I want to let you know we are at Saltgrass, 9110 Southwest Freeway. So if you want to come out, come hang out with us. If you're just getting off work or whatever, make sure if you're on Southwest Freeway, you take that Gessner exit, because if you wait till Bissonnette, it's really hard to
get
over.
It's a disaster.
Yeah, I, that's what happened to me. I couldn't get over in time and had to go U-turn. But out here at Saltgrass, and I'm telling you, man, 61 locations, Texas born and bred, 25 years of perfection, and the pumpkin cheesecake is back.
Oh,
yeah. I can't eat another bite, man. I had that bacon-wrapped filet.
I saw that. Looked good.
Goodness, that was terrific. All right, we are going to take a very quick break. We'll be right back. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse off 59 in between Gessner and Bissonnette. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Saltgrass, 9110 Southwest Freeway. So if you are looking for some place to come grab dinner, hang out with us. Quentin Demps is scheduled to join us at 6 o'clock. And so we'll get some insight from him into what's going on with the Texans. But I just wanted to throw this number out since we talked about it before we went to break. And I don't think total QBR is a...
It's not the end-all, be-all.
But it's a measuring stick. And when you hear the names around him, you kind of go, yeah, that seems pretty accurate. Out of 31 listed quarterbacks... Where would you think Brock ranks?
In the bottom four, five.
Not quite that bad, but they're all really close. 26.
Okay.
Out of 31. And, technically he's tied with Blake Bortles. But here's the other guys in that group. And other than Case Keenum, who you guys keep telling us is a great quarterback.
He's dead ass less, isn't he?
Yeah, he's 42.2. Everybody else is within 2 points of each other.
Okay.
So, Brock Osweiler, 26. Blake Bortles, 27. Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's been an interception machine, 28. Carson Wentz, 29, which seems low to me, but okay. Ryan Tannehill, the other guys you love so much, 30th. And Case Keenum, 31. So, you Tannehill-Keenum people, you have the worst two quarterbacks in the league. But I think you can make an argument that... Hey, you could take any of those and argue who's the worst, really, except for Carson Wentz, who I don't think belongs in that group. But the other ones sure do. I don't have any problem with
it. And just in traditional passer rating, the only guys worse than him, Blaine Gabbert and Ryan Fitzpatrick.
There you go.
I mean, it,
yeah, see, and that's why this total QBR is a little weird, because you know where Blaine Gabbert ranks in that? Number 11. Ahead of Derek Carr. Ahead of Sam Bradford. Number one on the list is Dak Prescott, just ahead of Matt Ryan.
Here's the number that bothers me the most about Brock Osweiler.
$72 million?
Well, yeah. Of the 32 eligible quarterbacks in this metric,
yeah,
he is dead last in yards per pass attempt. 5.72 yards per pass attempt. For measurement purposes, first place in that department is Thomas Brady with a 9.94. 5.72, average is 7.23, 7.25, somewhere in there. 5.72 is, I mean, that's unbelievably low, almost embarrassingly low. I would maybe go ahead and just go, yeah, that's embarrassingly low.
He's in the conversation for worst quarterback in the league right now, and I don't think that's all that debatable. And just depends on which stats you want to pick out and make that argument.
The lowest quarterback in yards per attempt last year was Nick Foles. He was 34th. There were 34 quarterbacks eligible last year. He was 34th. Yeah. He had a 6.09.
A lot of that was skewered by last night, but then he's also had a couple of other games that have been just as bad.
I think it's the third time that he's had 40 attempts and gone under 200 yards, and that's the first time anybody's done that three times in a season. And we're seven games into the season? What do we have to do to say, you know what, this isn't working right now? Would it upset you, Fred, if they said, we're going to let Brock sit for a while, figure things out, and we're going to play Tom Savage?
No,
or is it embarrassing? Is it egg on the face of the organization
to
do that?
You have to forget about egg on the face. You're 4-3. You still have, you're still very much alive in the playoff race.
Yes. Although I think anything beyond making a playoff game is out of the question at this point.
Probably. It just depends on, you know, who's hurt at the end of the season, who you wind up playing. I think they're still one of those teams in that group that I think you can throw them all up in the air and they can come down in any order, basically. But I think, like, going into this week, it's a hell of a lot different if you come out of the first eight games 5-3 as opposed to 4-4.
Yeah.
It's one game, but I think it's a huge difference, especially if he struggles again at home.
And the way the Lions are playing, this is no gimme.
No, not at all. Not at all. And the only saving grace, and we haven't really talked about this yet, and we'll get to it, is the Lions don't run the ball very well, and the Texans can't stop the run.
No.
I don't want to give the defense a pass for this, because they were just brutal trying to stop the running game last night. 190 yards? Come on.
In fact, the Lions may have a white guy running back starting next weekend.
That's never a good sign.
Oof.
Yeah.
And now if you let a white guy run for 190 on you,
people should be fired.
Fold the organization. Get this out of here.
And then Casino JS is a play calling gotten worse since Billy O took over. It's funny, the asset, because the first two series against the Titans when he first took over, they look like world beaters. That's the best two series they've had on offense.
That was his best two series that he had in his pocket.
And that
pocket.
Was it. And that was it.
He needs to use that same two series over and over.
Yeah. So the thing is, and you can probably still salvage this guy, but it does do players good sometimes to say, you know what?
Let's just sit out for
just
a while.
Just sit down. Yeah. Sit down, you watch what's going on, figure it out from the sidelines.
But then I guess you run the risk that, and at this point it's not a stretch, that Tom Savage is better than Brock Osweiler.
Well, then,
and then
what have you lost, really?
You've got a guy making $34 million over the next couple years to just sit there and hold a clipboard.
It happens. It happened in San Francisco. It's happened in a lot of places. Well,
it happened in Seattle.
Yeah,
with you know what? They paid Matt Flynn a ton of money, and then they had a cheap option named Russell Wilson come in and just outperform him and take his job, and they had to eat that money, which sucked. But you think Seattle regrets it? I don't.
No.
And
now, they didn't pay Matt Flynn anywhere near what this guy's getting paid. And I was looking at it, and you can whack him in 2018 without much of a hit.
Yeah, but I mean, you're stuck with him this year and next year
for sure.
Kim says, do you think Brock is comparable to the Jay Cutler situation in Chicago? On paper, okay, but bad in all game situations. Here's why I would say that's different. Jay Cutler has proven to be serviceable at times. I mean, does he have awful games? Absolutely. But he's also had great games. And Jay Cutler threw 11 interceptions all last season. Brock Osweiler's thrown 8 through 7 games. So I don't think they're comparable at all.
I also think, yeah, moving forward here, that O'Brien has mishandled quarterbacks since he's been here. And last year he admitted he benched Hoyer too soon. And now do you just hold on to this hope that this guy's going to turn it around? When in reality, yeah, I don't care how hard you practice. I don't care how hard you prepare. If you can't perform on the field at some point, you got to take a step back and say, hey, you know what? We need to try something different. And it's hard to do when you have a winning record. But I also think if you look at it big picture, and I'll go back to the playoff game last year, this team in its last 8 games has gotten blown out in 4 of them.
Yeah.
I mean, blown out. Not been competitive. They were competitive for a quarter last night. Woo. Congratulations. And
really luck boxed their way into 2 more of those wins.
Yeah.
Because they didn't outplay the Colts. They didn't outplay the Titans. I think they luck boxed into those 2 wins.
I think they outplayed the Titans. I think the Colts, they outplayed for 2 minutes, basically. But, you know, and that can happen in the NFL. We see it all the time. But the reality is, you know, you go back, their best games, I think, were the Bears and the Chiefs early on in the season.
And even the Chiefs game, they tried their best to blow it.
And they've regressed.
Yeah.
They have regressed since then as a team.
The Bears game is the one game this season where I said, man, they looked really good today. Like, that's the one time I've walked away from the game going, man, the Texans looked really good. Of course, it was the first game of the season, so I'm sure everybody felt that way, and everybody got their hopes up high. And now you see the Bears are god-awful.
Yeah.
And every other time you've been like, they won, but, I mean, it was iffy. And or they've just been blown out of the water, and you don't feel good about that at all. So it's been a long time since Texans fan should have walked away from that stadium or walked away from their television set going, yeah, we got ourselves a team here.
There were concerns early even with the Chicago game, but the difference was you thought, okay, they're going to get better.
Right. It's a first game with a new quarterback.
Right.
I mean, yeah,
right.
things are going to start coming together, but they're not.
They're not getting better. And, yeah, I think at this point last year, I still think they were worse than they are, but the reality is I'm just not seeing those steps forward. And a lot of people guess, well, what if you traded for a quarterback? You can't trade for a quarterback because
who's going to take on that salary?
Well, it doesn't matter because even if you trade him, he's on your books.
Right.
That's the same as cutting him, and that's impossible. You can't do it until 2018. So you're stuck with that for 2 more years. That's just a fact. And now what I would do, if I'm Rick Smith, well, besides thank my lucky stars that every day I have a job and a contract extension, is I get on the phone with the Browns today, and if reports are true that they'll take a second-round pick for Joe Thomas, I'm trading them a second-round pick, a third-round pick. I'm trading them Rick Smith. I'm trading them Cal McNair. I'm trading them small children. I'll give them all that because that would make a huge difference for this team, especially with Derek Newton out. But this is not a team that makes bold moves like that. Other than signing backup quarterbacks for an awful lot of money. I mean, I like the move at the time, but it also is incumbent on your coaching staff to find the best way to use this guy and to get the most out of him. And even if he's not that good, you ought to see better play than this. This is not just below average play. This is really bad play, and it's getting worse. All right, we got a lot to get to, but yeah, we'll a few more things to hit on here, and then we'll hit some other subjects. We are out here at Sawgrass, 9110 Southwest Freeway. Come on out. It's near Gessner. Take the Gessner exit if you're coming from downtown, because otherwise you'll have to try to cross 3 lanes at rush hour traffic, and it's impossible. My GPS told me this, and I shame GPS. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, your home for Aggie sports. Stay sportsy.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Saltgrass, 9110 Southwest Freeway. So just inside the Beltway, pretty easy to find. So come on out and have some of the fantastic food they have here. I noticed you made short work of yours there.
I did. I always get that bone-in ribeye with the Oscar topping. with the crab meat. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, I may try that next time. It's just it looks like a lot. But,
oh, it is. It's a man's meal, Fred.
Yeah, I had that bacon wrap filet. That
it's very really petite.
Good. It is. It was petite, but there's a lot of meat there. It doesn't look like there's a ton there, but I'm telling you, I'm so stuffed right now, I could explode. There's one last thought, and then we'll move on to some other stuff. But
is there anything else to talk about today? I don't think so.
I think there's plenty to talk about. You got the World Series starting tonight.
No, who cares?
Arian Foster retired, which I think right now still one of the best players in the history of this franchise, if not the best. You can make a case for that. But what bothered me about last night was, and it's easy to focus on how bad the offense was. It really is. But defensively, that Broncos offensive line is worse than the Texans. And they're holding and everything else. And we saw it against the Chargers. They were terrible. And you're giving up 190 yards rushing.
Yeah.
I don't understand. And their quarterback's not any good either.
He's better than the Texans.
He's better than what the Texans have right now, but he's not any good either. And you know, Kubiak, as I've always said, designs a really good offense and does a good job of, you know, keeping things under control so that you don't put the guy in terrible situations, especially when you get a lead, until Matt Schaub on him. But yeah, that performance on defense was just bad. And I don't want to hear about, you know, oh, we don't have J.J. Watt. You've got enough talent on that defense where you shouldn't be giving up 190 yards rushing.
I think part of the problem, and it's rough because I think that the front seven is still the strength of that defense, but the problems in the secondary have sort of had a trickle-down effect to where you can no longer count on these linebackers to just stay in the box and play run defense. And it's not – I mean, I don't want to make excuses for anybody, Fred, because I think they played like crap yesterday. Everybody did. But – with the bodies that they have in that secondary you're running out.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't want to just get beat down the field all the time, which, you know, they could have gotten beat down the field more than they did. Demaryius Thomas roasted Charles James and just dropped the ball, or it would have been 7 more points on the board.
Yeah, you had a drop there, and then Simeon missed some players, too, that were open.
I mean, so I think they were trying not to give up the big play, and that ended up doing more damage because, I mean, I guess if you're going to let anybody beat you, I'd rather – well, I don't know. I don't know what the right answer would have been in that situation. But I think it's partly they're playing like crap and partly they're just spread so thin at this point.
Well, again, that's a team with a really good defense that you can't get behind because of – and I actually thought they did a good job of protecting Brock last night. He just was inaccurate. He was all over the place.
He was just scared.
Yeah, but they, I mean, as good as that defensive front is for the Broncos, they didn't really get to him the way that I expected them to, especially when they got the Texans down. He just couldn't complete passes. And DeAndre Hopkins needs to stop pouting and actually try to play football. I don't know if he's ticked off that Brock sucks or he's ticked off that he didn't get his money, but either way, it's noticeable. And, you know, that's no way to react to stuff, man. You got to get on the field and play hard. And I don't see that out of him either. And Alfred Blue, hold on to the football. Boy, he looks so good.
I think that was his first fumble ever.
Man, but still, part of that was a really good defensive play. But I was like, man, Alfred Blue's looking pretty good. This is good.
Well, it happened. I mean, every time you start to like feel a sense of excitement about a player, something bad happens. It happened with A.J. Bouye yesterday and then Alfred Blue. I mean, it's just right now, everything that can be a disaster is being a disaster.
See, I'm only excited about Brock before the first play.
Yeah.
That way,
that's the way to do it.
Yeah, exactly. 713-780-ESPN's your number. 832 says, that back shoulder fade to Emmanuel was pretty good for Simeon, Fred. Yeah, he threw some good passes, but he also missed on a bunch. He's a
nice fill-in quarterback. Yeah. He's not their future, and they know it. He knows it. He's doing a decent job for what he is.
But
it's sad that their fill-in guy is better than the guy the Texans paid a bunch of money to be their franchise quarterback. That's what's bad about it.
Yeah.
That's when it gets embarrassing. If these guys were making the same money and they had the expectation was the same for both, that they were both just holding the place for some future quarterback, maybe we wouldn't be as hard on Osweiler. But the reality is Osweiler was paid to be the future quarterback. He was paid to be the franchise quarterback. And he's a trash can. is what it boils down to. And we've had people call in every week and defend Brock Osweiler and say we're not giving him enough time, we're being too hard on him. He is the worst quarterback in the league, if not the worst. He's amongst the two or three worst, and that's unacceptable. It really is.
What's funny is,
do you think the media in New York has been going easy on Ryan Fitzpatrick?
No, of course not.
I would hope not. I mean, yeah, you think the media in San Francisco is, watching out for Colin Kaepernick's feelings? I don't think so. I mean, it's been, even Baltimore, where their guys won them a Super Bowl, I bet they're hammering Joe Flacco for the way he's playing this year.
The guy who's one spot ahead of Osweiler in those total QBR rankings, Joe Flacco.
Yeah, he's having a horrible year, and I bet nobody's cutting him any slack, nor should they.
And
because he's a franchise quarterback, and he's paid like a franchise quarterback. So when you're that, you should expect to take the heat when you suck. And Osweiler sucks.
It seems like the three guys that people defend most on our show are the three worst quarterbacks in the league. Osweiler,
Keenum, and Tannehill. That's the three-headed monster.
That's the trifecta of suck. But the one thing that, and O'Brien, I listened to his BS press conference today while I was coming in because I wanted to hear what he had. And it's the same old stuff. We have to coach better. We have to play better. And when asked if he was going to consider quarterback change, he said no. I mean, that was basically his answer was no. But the reality is fan base is starting to turn on him.
Yeah,
and if he gets out there Sunday and starts sucking and the boos start raining down, that gets in your head. That affects what you do. There's not a player in the world that it doesn't affect. And I think there's a real good chance it happens. I mean, I haven't seen any indication that he's going to play better.
No.
So if you go out there and things are that bad and people start booing, at some point, you don't really have a choice. Because when that turns against you, then it gets in your head, and you start playing worse. And I could,
but are Texans fans really the kind of fans who are going to boo their own guy in their own building?
Yes.
Oh, you think
yes,
so?
I think so. I think if they go out there, well, that's why they left at the Colts
because
game.
We've heard so much of this, just sitting here with these headphones on. We keep hearing people say, "Oh, well, they're still in first place, and that's all that matters." I mean, I feel like that's the attitude people are taking, which is crazy to me, but I think that's the attitude they've got.
I don't think so. I think you're going to see a very impatient group Sunday. I believe that. I think if they come out and they are not good, if they play like they did against the Colts for a half, you're going to hear a lot of boos in that building.
Boy, Matt Stafford has got to be just licking his chops the way he's been playing and looking at how the body count in this secondary. He's got to be saying, oh, boy. This is going to be fun.
And here's another thing that, I don't want to let the defense off, but one thing they're going to have to do is they've got to get some pressure on the quarterback. No sacks last night. Now, part of that was because Denver was running the ball so well that set up the bootlegs, and it was kind of hard to even get any pressure on. But no pressure whatsoever and no forced turnovers. You can't win like that, especially with this crap offense. So...
Well, I'm done making excuses for that team. They are, from a talent standpoint, they are better than a lot of teams in the NFL. And they have consistently gone out there and underperformed their talent level. And that's where I'm not going to make excuses for you if that's what you do.
And, hey, I think they did the right thing by trying to go out and get a quarterback. But it didn't.
They just picked the wrong guy.
It's not working. So
they either picked the wrong guy, or this whole Bill O'Brien is some kind of quarterback genius is total crap.
I think it is total crap. Although he's done a good job getting guys ready, like when Keenum had to start once, and they went with a really vanilla offense. Who was the other? Brandon Whedon. They had to do that. T.J. Yates. Guys like that. He's done that well. But that's not the same thing. And if that's the case, if you can get that out of those guys, why the hell can't you get it out of this guy?
Well, and remember everyone was like, well, he got Hackenberg, and Hackenberg wanted to play with him because he's this quarterback whisperer, and Hackenberg played well under him. Hackenberg was also like the god of all god high school prospects. And what is he now? He's fourth string for the Jets. I mean, so... I think maybe his reputation as a quarterback genius was maybe a little bit oversold and probably a little bit overbought by us.
Yeah, well, I never quite bought into that simply because I'm not going to count your time with Tom Brady as being making you a quarterback genius.
Guess what? Everybody who coaches Tom Brady looks really good. You know why? Because they're coaching Tom Brady, and he happens to be the best. But, yeah, I'm with you. Either they were totally wrong on Osweiler, or they were totally wrong on O'Brien, or both at this point.
Yeah, I think that's fair, but I don't, you know, but at this point, so I'm always saying, well, you can get better, you can improve. I'm just not seeing anything that encourages me that they can do that.
They need to hire Greg Roman to be the OC.
Oh God, no! Don't.
All right.
Don't you wish that evil on them?
All right, guys, I got to tell you about Allied Outdoor Solutions. Listen, as the seasons change, you want to spend more time outside in your backyard, but you don't like looking at that unsightly pool deck or the grayed out patio. That's where Carvestone comes in. And Carvestone gives you the superior look of real stone over your existing surface for way less money than it would cost to tear everything out and start over. It's trowel hand-carved, custom-colored for your home, so it looks great. It's cool to the touch, and it's twice as strong as concrete. Allied stands behind Carvestone with a 7-year warranty, and they can help you on residential and commercial projects. They've got several monthly payment options, including 0% financing. Save yourself the hassle and expense of tearing everything out and starting over. Get a Carvestone overlay for the look and feel of real stone for less money from Allied Outdoor Solutions. Stop by the showroom I-10 in the Beltway, see what they can do for your backyard, or check out the Carvestone Project's photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com, or call for a risk-free estimate. 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions.
Your back's against the wall out there.
ESPN 97.5. Is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow live from Saltgrass Steakhouse off 59 in between Gessner and Bissonette. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Join us for happy hour now at Saltgrass Steakhouse, located on 59 South on Gessner. The Blitz will broadcast live until 6 when the Q-Dimp show starts.
Which is basically the same show, just with Quentin here.
Yeah.
And we get to ask him, and Quentin will probably say that they would have won if he played.
Yeah.
He might be right. They would have won if he would have played quarterback.
I think they would have won if you'd have played quarterback last night. But we're out here at Sawgrass at 9110 Southwest
Preseason
Freeway.
All district, Fred. Preseason all district.
Yeah, I was third string, so that doesn't quite count. 9110 Southwest Freeway, and if you're coming from downtown, just take the Gessner exit. It'll be on your right. Can't miss it. Come on out and hang out with us and have some great food. They have unrivaled flavor of certified Angus beef with juiciness and tenderness in every bite. All steaks cooked with Saltgrass, 7 steak spice, topped with garlic butter. Texas born and bred, 25 years of perfection, 61 locations and growing. That's one more since last week. Growing fast. And the pumpkin cheesecake is back. Order yours today. Amazing early dinner menu and happy hour every day. Saltgrass Steakhouse, great food and legendary hospitality. I don't even know where to go with this team anymore. I think Lamont brought up a good point. Is Brian Cushing even on the field?
It doesn't look like it. I hate to say it because I love Brian, but that's not he's not been a factor. And what's funny is in the preseason he looked like maybe he was going to be vintage Cushing, and it's just not been there.
Yeah.
Which is, it's really unfortunate. That's a guy I cheer for, man. I want to see that guy do well. I like him a lot. I think he's a good dude. I think he's a fun player to watch.
He's overcome an awful lot, too.
Yeah. But he's just not the same guy.
713-780-ESPN, if you wish to text the show, is... All right, I mentioned this earlier. I do think the fact they were able to run the ball was a positive. As much as I'm going to bang on them, and they had to take a chance at quarterback. Doesn't look like this is going to work out. I'm not going to fault them for trying that.
Right.
But I got to give them a little credit. I do think they got it right with running back. And I think the Lamar Miller signing was a damn good signing. And now they may beat him into the ground like they did Arian Foster. But so far, he's been a good pickup, although he's slightly banged up now.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think he's been a pleasant surprise. And I mean, I kind of thought he would be good. He may have been better than good so far. So I'll give credit where it's due there. Yeah, he's been nice.
What about what I was talking about earlier? If guys like Staley and Thomas are actually available to you, do you make a move for them?
Yeah, I feel like you kind of have to, right?
I would. Especially if a second-round pick is all you're giving up, knowing your history with second-round picks.
Yeah.
Now, I'd give up more than that for Thomas.
I'd give up a first-round pick for Joe Thomas. I think Joe Thomas is the best tackle in the league. I mean, I wouldn't have a problem with that. But will the Texans do that? And how often do trades like that get done? It just doesn't
happen. Well, I mean, that's the thing. Every year at the trade deadline, we hear these rumors about big names.
It just never happens.
And it never does, except for when Trent Richardson got traded. And that,
yeah.
You know, retrospect.
Which is why it never happens. Yeah,
which in retrospect, that was garbage.
Yeah.
That was basically garbage. But, I think you at least have to make the phone call and see what the price is. And I was looking at their salary cap. They could handle either one of them.
I mean, can the Browns afford, though, to, like, I mean, at this point, the Browns are basically rock bottom, and their fans can't be satisfied, right?
You know what? Their fans are a little distracted right now. They got a World Series.
And now's the time to do it.
Exactly. Yeah, they just won an NBA title. They're going to live with the fact that. And hey, realistically, this kind of goes with what they're trying to do, which is rebuild this thing from scratch totally Astro it. And
but when you rebuild, I mean, it's nice to have a cornerstone, a foundation player. I mean, there's
not much longer is he going to be there. By the time you've rebuilt, he's not going to be any good anymore.
No, maybe not.
And I think from their perspective.
Well, and here's the other thing. I mean, would Dwayne Brown be comfortable playing right tackle?
I don't know.
I mean, this is a guy who's been an all-pro. He's been one of the best tackles in the league at times.
Yeah. He's not quite that anymore, though. He's still pretty good.
Yeah.
But I don't care. I move him over there. Just say, okay. Or if whoever plays better, you put over there, you play the other one on the right side. I mean, I think that would make you instantly better on the offensive line. And it would also cover up for a lot of the stuff that happens on the interior. But I don't know that they would even do it.
I don't know that the Browns would do it. I don't know that the Texans would do it. But it's something, when we talked about that last night on Twitter, it's something I'd look into for sure.
Yeah, and I think
it's funny that these terrible football teams have such good tackles.
yeah. Marv Miller has one rushing TD in seven games. He isn't good. You know what? I respectfully disagree. The guy's done pretty much what you asked him to do. They have not. They've been bad in the red zone as a team, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they can't throw the ball to tight ends down there. And he hasn't really had a lot of opportunities to score touchdowns. Now, he hasn't had that explosive big run that you'd like to see, but dude averaged 5.2 a carry last night. I will take that all night, every night against that kind of defense,
no doubt.
And he's been the one guy that you've been able to count on in this offense to get you something every game. So if that's not good, then sorry. They got to have some reason for being 4-3.
I mean, well, he's about middle of the pack in yards per carry in the league. He's 18th in the league in yards per carry, 7th in the league in yards per game. But, I mean, he's also coming into a situation where he's never been a full-time back before.
Right.
This is the first time he's ever done it. I think what they're getting out of him is solid. Has it been spectacular? No, but I think it's pretty solid.
I think it's worth the money you paid for him.
I think so.
And it was clearly the right thing to move on from Arian Foster.
Remember, there were people who wanted to pay Arian Foster another year and keep him around?
Yeah. nicely done.
Well, yeah. I mean, what your other option would have been Alfred Blue being your lead running back. And, I mean, Alfred Blue, I don't think there's any more of just a guy in the NFL than Alfred Blue. He's like a lunchbox dude. He's fine for what he is, but he's not a featured back.
No, I wouldn't want him as my featured back, but I like him for what he is. I think he's a nice change of pace, and you bring him off the bench and get a little bit out of him, that's pretty good.
But yeah, I think Lamar Miller's been fine. He's not. Is he Le'Veon Bell? No. Is he David Johnson? No. But he's serviceable.
There's three or four of those guys in the league,
right.
Maybe five. And is he top 10? Yeah, I think he is. I don't think he's top 5, but I think he's top 10.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Lance wants to know, can we get Jong's opinion? He was letting Twitter know last night.
Yeah, Jong, what's going on with you? You're losing us listeners, man.
I'm not losing us listeners.
Yeah, that guy said we lost a listener thanks to you.
Well, he's a delusional Texan fan.
You laughed at Brock Osweiler. You wrote out ha, 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 about 100 ha's.
As much as I could fit onto the Twitter account, the tweet after, right. I hashtagged Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, and he took great offense to that and said, you've lost a listener, and basically tagged Fred and I in the post where you lost us a listener. So thanks a lot, buddy.
Nah, no problem. That's what I'm here for.
Were you drinking last night?
No, I wasn't drinking that much. I had a couple of beers.
I feel like you were a little tipsy. I've seen Jong tweet before.
Yeah.
And you can kind of tell, like, Jong was very active on Twitter last night, which he's typically not very active on Twitter.
Yeah.
I knew he had a little bit of drink in him. How many is a few beers? Like three or four?
Something like that. Maybe four or five.
What kind of beers?
Nothing.
Were you drinking like Coors Light or were you drinking craft beer?
No. I was drinking, we went to St. Dane's for steak night.
Uh-huh.
And they had Ziegenbach specials. So we had a little bit of Ziegenbach.
A little bit like five?
They're little small plastic cups.
Yeah, but you're a lightweight, John. You can't hold it like a normal dude can. You get drunk really easy.
Not on Ziegenbach, though.
All right.
Was it on draft?
Yes.
Okay. See, that'll get you there a little quicker than in a bottle. Just a tip.
I don't know. Like on a scale of 1 to 10, how tipsy were you last? Did you drive?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, maybe you weren't as bad as I thought you were.
See, I finally learned that I have a limit that when I get to, I automatically stop tweeting. I only had one tweet.
Oh, not me.
I had one tweet on the game last night where I compared the Texans to watching blind porn because I didn't know where to put it. And that was it. I didn't do anything else. And I just, because about the fourth quarter, I had enough to where if I got on there, I would have jonged it. There would have been some really smart Alex stuff on there.
Yeah, I feel like last night my smart Alex tweets were okay because everyone knew that it was legit. I mean, there was no point in pretending. Like those fans weren't disgusted with the same things I was disgusted with. All right, guys, how's your fantasy team looking? Did you invest a high draft pick in DeAndre Hopkins? Are you having buyer's remorse? Maybe so. If your running back's already hurt, mine. My God, I was actually bummed out by the Arian Foster retirement because I've been stashing him on my bench hoping he's actually going to be useful at some point. That's how bad my situation is. Well, not too late to save your season and win huge money at DraftKings.com. DraftKings is the destination for one-week fantasy football, which means no season-long commitments to busts and scrubs and bench warmers. Never again will injuries have you combing the waiver wire in the middle of the night. Every week is a brand-new season at DraftKings. Just pick your contest, draft your team, and play every week, or try 50-50 contest where the top half of the entries win cash. If your current fantasy team's circling the drain, don't worry. You can still win huge cash prizes at DraftKings. Don't wait. Start your new season at DraftKings.com now. Use the code Houston. You'll play for free with your first deposit. That's code Houston to play for free for your share of over $1 million in total prizes this week. And it's only at DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See the website for details. The website is DraftKings.com.
Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5.